This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill, a car company that prides itself on safety since the first model drove out through the factory gates in Gothenburg on the west coast of Sweden, has over the years earned a reputation of being a little staid. But has this now Chinese-owned company changed its image and is in the forefront of electric vehicles? We find out to newly appointed Managing Director Charles Frump of Volvo Cars Malaysia to find out. Thanks for joining us on the show this morning. Now let's start with Volvo's ambitions of having half of its sales to be electric by 2025. In fact, Volvo's global CEO has said that it may even stop selling any vehicles with combustion engines by the end of the decade. That is a tight timeline indeed. Is it achievable in Malaysia too?
It better be achievable because that's how we're building the cars. And, you know, so we're committed as a company by 2025 to sell 50%. To be honest, I'd like to see it happen a little faster here. I think that the environment is right. And, you know, we want to lead in this area. So, and you know, certainly by 2030, we will only be building fully electric cars. So that will have to also be the case here in Malaysia.
But for adoption of electric vehicles to really take place, aside from your own personal choices in terms of being carbon neutral, I think government policy is probably another very important factor. So let's talk about the big picture here in this country. Do you think the current environment is right, especially to look at it from the customs and import excise duties regime? Does it favour anything electric at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, we're a company that's been here for over 50 years, right? We've been building cars here for 50 years. And you know, we've always had very good support from the government. And, you know, I think that they're looking, I've had some introductory meetings with Mari and Midi, and we've, you know, they're, I think, very supportive of this direction. And they look at the opportunity for Volvo being full electric. And I think this is an area that the government really wants to promote. So, you know, I've seen a draft policy for electric vehicles here, and I think it's near passing. And honestly, I think it sets Malaysia up to be a leader in electric vehicles. And luckily, we are locked and loaded to jump on that trend.
But I want to talk a little bit more about this tax incentives. Have customized ones been offered to you? Because if I look at some of your competition, it's quite attractive. So I'm going to mention BMW. Their 330e M Sport, I mean, would be priced actually 130,000 higher if not for the EEV incentives. Is the government offering anything for Volvo Malaysia?
We have, like all automakers, we have discussions with the government on a regular basis. And of course, they show a great interest in improving the environment in Malaysia. And that's a cause that we both share. Certainly when you're looking at launching new technologies and, you know, world leading technologies regardless of the company, you know, often in the early days and with early adopters, you know, those technologies can be expensive. And, you know, I think to get the ball rolling, the government does offer incentives. Most governments around the world offer incentives, and Malaysia is no different in that. I feel very supported, actually, by the government. They reach out directly to me, and we have started talking about not only, you know, selling electric cars here, but perhaps also building them.
Does this draft anyway reveal that the price between a combustible engine vehicle and an electric vehicle, will it be cheaper for electric vehicles? Because we know Malaysians are extremely price sensitive. We love a bargain. So yeah. Yes, we might be carbon neutral in our intent, but at the end of the day, we are very sensitive to prices.
I think that at the moment, the technology is very advanced and at the moment still quite expensive, right? So, you know, certainly, you know, that there needs to be some kind, you know, there needs to be some kind of price premium on top of internal combustion cars until this technology develops and the manufacturing develops over time. And I think that's why governments are bringing in, you know, support elements for that. But I think even with support elements, you're going to see a premium over ICE engines for the foreseeable future, right? And I think that that technology is, I do think that you see, one thing that I think customers will have to adjust to is they're going to have to look at the total cost of ownership, right? So not just the upfront cost, but what are you spending on repairs? What are you spending on fuel versus electric? You know, those kinds of trade-offs will change the whole economics of car ownership. And if you look at the long term, then I think that the gap between internal combustion engines and full electric engines, the costing will become much more comparable when you do that. But I do foresee that a premium going forward into the fairly immediate future.
Staying on the topic of cost, in Malaysia, currently the road tax calculations don't make sense to me though. Because for ICE car, internal combustion engine, it's calculated based on engine capacity measured in cubic centimeters. For electric vehicles, it's measured based on power output. So if I compare the road tax for ICE vehicle and EV, both, of course, have a steeper road tax beyond a certain CC or beyond a different power gen output. But just very simply, if I just look at a Mini Cooper SE, it's similar to a 2-litre BMW ICE vehicle. But the Mini Cooper road tax is RM724 versus the BMW electric vehicle at RM380. You know, this all kind of, like you say, it's the total cost, right? So doesn't this need to be addressed?
Every car company and every government is adjusting to the future being electric cars. So we shouldn't be so surprised that there's a few gaps here. You know, we've been operating under an internal combustion model for over 100 years. And, you know, the policies and such have had time to develop and synchronize. Are there gaps? Of course there's gaps, right? I think we see, you know, it's not just in the government, it's in all of the private sector as well. Like, how do you change to a fundamentally different propulsion system is a challenge, right? And it's a challenge for the government to get its arms around it, just as it is for car companies. But I think the visions, what I'm happy to see is the visions of most governments and the visions of most car companies are aligning in where they want to go, right? They want to see electric become the dominant propulsion system for automobiles. And I think that they're slowly putting those policies in place. They're testing them. They're going to start building data and adjusting. And I think that there's going to be some give and take over time.
You highlighted something very interesting earlier on, which was car owners have to see the ownership of electric vehicles in a total package. It includes maintenance, so we talked about road tax. But at the same time, there was a survey done by the Malaysian Green Technology and Climate Change Centre, which is a government agency. And local confidence levels and willingness to shift to EV platforms at the moment in this country remains low. Now, they are concerned about a few things. One, of course, is maintenance costs for hybrids or even EVs. And the other thing, the cost of a replacement battery, given that there's an expected lifespan. At the same time, Malaysians are still a country obsessed with the secondhand value of their car. So, you know, how is Volvo addressing these concerns?
That's quite a laundry list of concerns. I would say, you know, I certainly understand that there's some barriers to entry when you're talking about electric cars, right? And that there are concerns. And I think that what's going to happen, like all new technologies, you will have people that are leaders in this area and early adopters. And, you know, they'll see these barriers. They'll see whether it's cost barriers or concerns about trade-ins of batteries or, you know, the source of electricity or, you know, down the line. And cost, of course, is always a big factor in these decisions. But regardless of this, and everywhere around the world now, we're seeing that when full electric cars are launched, there's demand there. And will that demand be for every customer in the country? Will there be some that are slower in adoption than others? I certainly think so, right? So when I'm looking at kind of targeting customers here in Malaysia, you know, I feel we're in a really sweet spot when as a luxury car maker.
But Charles, will the cost of maintaining the car be the same though? Let's say comparable, a fully electric versus a hybrid or even an ICE vehicle.
Yeah, over time, especially if you have solar power, your fuel cost will be dramatically lower. And the maintenance cost, the number of moving parts in full electric vehicles are much fewer than internal combustion engines, and they require less maintenance. So over the years, you won't need as much service as you do with ICE cars, right? So that you know, I think that that's something that we as an industry actually have to handle, right? I mean, this is a very important part of our business model is servicing internal combustion engines. And that, of course, is, you know, part of our profitability. But in when we look forward to electric vehicles, they won't need as much service. They won't need as many replacement parts. And, you know, I think that for a customer, that's ideal. For us, that's a bit of a concern, of course. But, you know, this is, I think that the pros outweigh the cons for us as well.
So in the long run, electric vehicles should be cheaper to maintain than an ICE vehicle? Is that...
They will be. Even? They absolutely will be cheaper to maintain than ICE vehicles, yes.
Now, the other thing I wonder whether you notice in Malaysia is that there are very few charging stations around. So yes. Realistically, how is Volvo going to roll out its lineup of electric vehicles when there isn't a nationwide charging infrastructure?
I think I might have a little different take than many on this. I don't really care.
But the owner does. Imagine you're driving, what is the distance? 300-400 km, and what do you do?
Exactly right. And I'm sure that for the mass automotive segment, that this is a big issue. But I have to say, this is an area that I'm very pleased to be playing in the luxury segment. Basically, someone that's looking at buying, say, our new XC40 Recharge full electric vehicle. They'll come into their office working in a nice place, and they'll have the ability to have a charging station at work. You know, looking at the Volvo owners around KL, I see the places that they live, and in virtually all cases, I see that they will be able to get a charging station at home. So I think that luxury customers have a little more access to building their own infrastructure, number one. And if you're looking at taking a long trip to Ipoh or wherever you're going and you're a little worried about this, all of my customers will just take their other car. Very few of my customers only have one luxury car. They have an alternate plan that can bypass the infrastructure. I think it's a much tougher road for non-luxury, I think, and it'll take some time. But I really think that luxury cars will lead the adoption of electric vehicles.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Charles Frump, Managing Director of Volvo Car Malaysia. When we come back, what electric cars do they have in the pipeline, and will that be the game changer for them here? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Charles Frump, Managing Director of Volvo Car Malaysia. Just before the break, we were talking about Malaysia's policy framework for electric vehicles, or perhaps the lack of one. Now, let's go back to Volvo's car lineup. You've given it away. It's going to be the XC40 Recharge. I think it's supposed to be the first fully electric vehicle for y'all that was supposed to have launched earlier this year. But it's been pushed back to a 2022 timeline. What's the reason for the delay?
Pandemic situation has had the biggest impact on production, distribution of cars. I'm happy to say that it hasn't really had an impact on the demand for cars. So we've had massive demand. And unfortunate situation is that our supply has not been able to reach that demand. So we have hundreds and hundreds of customers currently waiting for cars. So we wanted to ensure that we're prioritizing the building of the cars for the customers that are waiting rather than launching all new cars. So I feel a tremendous obligation to deliver these cars to customers that have already ordered them from us. And that has to be a priority. So as soon as those cars get built and produced, then we'll start talking about launching new cars.
Has this been due to the chip shortages, you know, in the region?
It's had a lot to do with It's had a lot to do with chip shortages. We, you know, overall globally, it has impacted our ability to build cars in our Swedish locations and around the world. But particularly here in Malaysia, we have our own assembly facility. And that, during the MCO, was shut down for 3 months. Things are going to be supply tight for a while.
So this XC40 Recharge is being built at the Shah Alam plant. Is it a CKD pack?
We are not ready to announce anything on that, I have to tell you. So I can tell you.
Or are the cars coming from China?
I can tell you that we will be bringing the XC40 Recharge to Malaysia in the first quarter.
Okay, and the pricing? Because
you're not gonna give me a price reveal on radio. Customers are gonna have to wait. This is gonna be very exciting.
Well, maybe give us a hint, because the fully imported model from China is selling in Thailand for about 330,000 ringgit or thereabouts. So, yes. You know, give us a clue. I mean, will it be around that price range?
So my good friend Chris Wales is the managing director for Volvo Car Thailand. And I can tell you that when they launched at this price, the demand has been amazing. So I have a call every Monday with all the other country heads, and the runaway success of the Recharge in Thailand is really a benchmark for us. So, you know, we certainly understand the pricing, and we're looking at it, but we're not, I'm not ready to announce it.
Do you think you're going to be able to get market share just because of the fact that there isn't much competition in this EV space, Charles?
Short term, you know, there aren't as many offerings, of course. And I am extremely, as you can tell, very bullish on this. And in the end, I think that this is going to be a competitive marketplace, right? We're not the only ones seeing this opportunity. Our competitors will also see this opportunity. Is this the time for a Swedish brand to jump the places of a few German competitors? Maybe this is the time.
Yeah,
so
because
of course we're looking at this as a great opportunity.
Because the closest competitor, I would think, at the moment is Mercedes. Are they your biggest threat? I mean, they have like 5 EV vehicles lined up this year or next year for distribution. Are you worried about them?
Well, I think the Germans are tough competitors, and they build great cars, right? So, you know, I think that that's something that we've been dealing with for nearly 100 years, and you know, I think it always puts pressure on us to be our best. And what I can say is, over the past 10 years, Volvo has been gaining market share in virtually every country in the world. That we've been building world-class products, and I think that our electric products will be benchmarks when we launch them. And I think it'll give us great opportunity here.
Is the XC40 your way of being like the top luxury car maker in Malaysia? Because I'm looking at MAA figures. Last year you sold 1,950 cars, beating the previous record of 1,883 in 2019. I'm just even curious whether 2021 can surpass this target because of all the lockdowns. Because so far, you've sold 980 vehicles as of August 2021. Unfortunately, Mercedes doesn't share those figures with MAA. BMW only releases quarterly figures. But are you number 3 from your own estimates, or number 2? Have you slowly climbed up, or are you waiting for XC40 Recharge to be that big game changer?
Well, I think the answer is yes. We really are looking for XC40 to recharge and our full lineup coming of electric models to be that game changer. And, you know, I have a lot of confidence that can happen. I can also say that I'm very proud of the team and our dealer network here that, you know, despite a very, you know, we forget, but 2020 was also very challenging. And, you know, we're one of the few automakers that was able to sell more cars in 2020 than in 2019. You know, 2021 has become, you know, even more difficult with, you know, our plants shut down and such. And I think that we're We're on track to have a great fourth quarter, which will be great. Will we be able to catch up to last year is a question mark, but I wouldn't count us out. And, you know, 2022 and, you know, really the game-changing move of bringing in electric cars gives me a lot of faith for next year and in the future.
Despite the fact that we might not actually, as a country, be extending our sales and service tax holiday that we enjoyed, are you worried about that, though?
You know, it's the same for everybody, right? And I think at the moment, you know, I have no idea whether they're going to extend it or not. You know, this is, you know, they've extended it once, and we'll see. Of course, we support if they, we would love it if they did. But at the same time, you know, my biggest concern is delivering the cars that are already ordered, right? And you know, we have an outstanding order book with customers, our dear customers that are waiting, and I don't like making them wait. And I apologize to all that are waiting on for a Volvo to be delivered for them. We will get it to you as quick as possible, and we're working very hard to do so. But yeah, I think you know, this is a great chance. And once 2022 comes and these cars come, it's going to be a fun one.
Are you going to appoint more dealerships, though? Because I think there are 15 in Malaysia, if I'm correct.
Yes.
So is this something that you're considering? Because if you want to really have scale, that's another consideration.
Well, I think the most important thing is that we are available, you know, for customers to be able to experience our cars, right? And I think as we look at the buying experience, customers don't come into the dealership 10 times to kick the tires anymore, right? They know everything that they need to know from all of our digital channels. And they're coming in to sit in the car, to touch the car, to experience that Swedish luxury for themselves. And are they willing to drive, you know, 30, 40, 50 kilometers once? You know, I think that the buying decisions are different now. And I'm one, you know, I have to be honest, we're looking, you know, I know customers don't want to wait to get their car serviced. So we're definitely making sure that you can service your Volvo close to your home, and we make that very easy for you. But, you know, will customers get in the car and drive a bit to see a new Volvo? I think they will, especially if they're not making four trips to do so. I definitely want to ensure that our dealer partners here have a profitable relationship with us, because only with dealers that are profitable can they provide the luxury experience that customers expect. So first, that's very much, you know, the first consideration is, are we accessible for customers? I believe we are. There, of course, there could be some gaps over time, but I don't see a massive physical expansion. I see more digital touch points taking the lead, being best in class and online. And, you know, I think making sure that the service opportunities are much easier than the sales opportunities. We want to make sure that when a person buys a Volvo, that they are taken care of through the whole life cycle of that car. And that's, I think, the priority, rather than saving people, you know, 10 kilometers drive to come see a car that they're going to purchase at a premium price.
On that note, thank you for your time today. Today on The Breakfast Grill was Charles Frump, MD for Volvo Car Malaysia. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.